I have a confession to make to all of you. Despite the fact that I grew up in the Congregational Church, UCC, in Iowa City, which has a neo-Gothic interior decorating scheme, we had a giant, dark, carved wooden pipe covering, and we had beautiful stained glass windows, including one that I was informed was insured for as much as the rest of the church. I grew up thinking of myself as someone who did not like ritual. I did not like the distractions from the colors, the distractions of certainly incense that I found in Episcopal churches. I thought that all of these things blocked our experience of God, that we should be free from distraction in white buildings with clear glass windows, opening God's creation to all of us, perhaps not even distracted by a cross hung up on the organ pipes. And so I prosecuted my campaign against all of these things for many years. I thought of myself in divinity school as someone much more attuned to church history than to church liturgy, a notion that many of my most liturgical friends confirmed over and over again, especially when I was doing worship planning. They said, "What do you mean you don't care?" But as I came into this call, a year and a half ago now, more and more, I understand where I might have gone wrong. Because it does matter what we do in this space. It does matter that we come here together to glorify God with our words, to bring that holiness into this space and touch the transcendent in ways we feel are so hard to do during the rest of the week. If I had stopped to think about that just a little bit, I might have realized that I went to church after college because in singing hymns I felt an ability to laugh and to cry, that I in that moment experienced what it meant to be close to God, and I somehow never connected that with the order of worship, with the things that we did. I, like I think a lot of people in this place, got confused and thought that having an importance in worship, having that pressure in worship to build the transcendent, meant that we could not allow for human failings, and how wrong I was to realize that in worship we have space for infinite grace, infinite mercy, and experience of the transcendent all together. And so it is in ritual now that I understand we may build the community of God in this space and find a space week after week after week where we may have something for people to walk into off of the street. Now at this moment, a number of you are laughing at me, at least I hope you are, since ever since I got here, you've been saying things like, "So Nathan, we seem to be singing a lot of hymns lately that are hard to sing, and it makes it hard to sing out loudly." One or two of you might have mentioned that over the past year. And I always said, and I am right, that I'm picking the hymns so we have a breadth of hymns and we have a theme for the day so that the hymns and the theology in the hymns reflect the theology we have in the rest of worship. But of course, what I was missing and where I was horribly wrong was that it doesn't work unless we know how to sing them. And so we tried for a little while to have a hymn of the month as the benediction response, and that didn't work. And so now what we are doing, you may have noticed in this space, the third week in a row we are singing either "Thine Be the Glory" or "Yours Be the Glory" in the opening of worship. This way, in the opening of worship, we may find, at least by the second week, comfort in what we are singing and loose ourselves to sing a little bit faster and a little bit louder so that we know that we are welcoming God into this place in worship. That this is a place of joyful noise, that we come together to gain the energy until next week. And so that is the thing we are doing now, to welcome the Holy Spirit into here, as well as welcoming in anyone who might be finding themselves in need of sanctuary on a Sunday, whether they are a member here and have been for 50 or 60 years, or whether they have never walked in these doors before. You'll notice, too, we've added more music to the program. I've snuck it in. I snuck it in Lent under the guise of it being temporary. And now here we are again. In our preparation for prayer, We are singing, "Prepare the way of the Lord." For just as we want to signal the energy and joy of being able to proclaim God's glory together in the beginning, of opening the doors of welcome to all people, no matter what they may have thought about church before they walked in the doors, we recognize too that we need a space for stillness and solemnity. And so as we sang this hymn, all during Lent to prepare ourselves for reflection, I found that we, by the end of it, all got it. We got the sense of seriousness, of meditating with God together, of preparing the way of the Lord. And we also knew how to sing it after 6 or 7 weeks, including Martha Jane, who was singing it at home. And this signaled to me, aha, we are on to something. And so this, I hope, is another new ritual for us that we may use to structure our worship around this meditative entrance that signals to us it is time for turning our thoughts to the contemplation of God in our lives. We're also at the end of worship going to close with more traditional closing tunes over and over again, week after week after week. We are in this season doing my favorite one, of course. Savior, again, to your dear name we raise. That thing that was the ritual for me in the church I joined the first time, a new place that I did not grow into, in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I found myself week after week saying, yes, I want the peace of God in my life, and I pray to God to protect me against being less than my better self. But of course, ritual also exists to give us a framework within which to experiment and move. It is the fixed endpoints, the things that we do every week so that we are sure of ourselves, that we may do our ritual well. We may light our candles. We may lift up our voices in song. We may collect our offerings, whether they are in the plates or in our cans, and we may know how to do all of those things so that as we have different forms of calls to worship, as we have different liturgies for things like Holy Communion, as we do all of those things that we want to do to stretch our minds and remind ourselves that we are called to be a diverse people of God, we may have our anchors every week as well. I've gone a long time now without actually addressing the scripture, which is not what I usually do. But today I do it because this, for me, is the real institution of ritual. When we started out seeing the Last Supper and the institution of Holy Communion, as it is described both in the Gospels and Paul's letter, we are told what it is. We are told this is what Jesus did. And we are told Jesus' instructions to us in how to perform communion. But in this passage, we understand and see the illustration of what it means. Of what it means and why we do this when two or three are gathered in Jesus' name. He may be here with us also. Because in this moment, these disciples do not recognize him. They who walked with him for so long, for some reason, were made not to recognize him. And we may look in our own lives and wonder how many times Jesus has been present in front of us, whether it is in a moment of need or whether it is in the guise of a person in need. And we did not recognize Jesus. We were not in the right frame of mind to understand that Jesus was with us and Jesus is with us. How many times has that happened? It happens to me a lot. And so in this breaking of the bread in Emmaus, we were reminded why we do the rituals that we do. That one especially, and it's funny to have all this talk about communion. I probably should have drafted the deacons to make up an extra one today so we could have celebrated that together. As many of you know, it's my favorite part of worship. But it is in that act of ritual, of breaking bread, of blessing bread, that Jesus becomes apparent to us, that the presence of God in our lives becomes real in so many ways. It is that bread for our own journeys that we carry with us into the world, so that we may look on one another in the frame of mind that is attuned to the presence of God. And that is why what we do in this space matters. And that is why what we do in this space is so foundational for being a welcoming church, one in which people are welcome to feel the presence of God because of the space we commit to make for it. And so that is why we have this message on this day, the institution of ritual in the church. Because we are warned so often in the Bible against empty ritual, against things that we do just because they are what we have always done. We are reminded in this place that we perform these rituals in order to create a space of holiness in our lives. And if there's a moment those rituals do not do that, well, then that is the joy, my friends, of being Protestants. We can change it. But we have these forms that give us space to feel God in this place, to feel God, to experiment, but to return home to that eternal love that brought us all together in the first place. So let us welcome ritual in this place, in this week, in every week, as part of our mission as a church. Amen.